Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have come again to continue this series that we have been giving for these days, and the series has to do with the spiritual sacrifices we offer to the Lord. I have pointed out before, and I want to bring this to remembrance again this morning, that these sacrifices come from the Old Testament idea of the blood sacrifices Israel was offering to God. These blood sacrifices were very important to God, and they were the commandment, in fact, of God, that these sacrifices were to be offered in a certain way. There were to be certain kinds of sacrifices offered to God. These sacrifices would be offered in a spiritual way, of course, to God. And these sacrifices would be a picture to them of two different things. First of all, of their sinful nature. They did not cleanse them from their sin, but they reminded them that they were sinners before God, and they needed a sacrifice that God would someday offer. Then, of course, the sacrifices were a picture of that sacrifice God would offer. The blood of animals could not cleanse them from their sins, but God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Himself, the divine Son of God, would come down from heaven, would be offered on the cross, and by His shed blood, we would be cleansed from our sins. So this was a wonderful picture that God had given them, and these sacrifices were God's command. The danger that God recognized, and the danger that they faced, and that they fell into, in fact, was that these blood sacrifices became a substitute for other things God wanted them to offer. And so in this series, we've been dealing with these other things that God has wanted us to offer to Him. Because we also have many physical things that we do for God. We give our offerings to the church. We support the work of God. We attend the services of the church. We participate in the activities of the church. There are so many things we do in our daily lives. We may even witness to our neighbors. We may conduct Bible classes, and I hope many of you are doing this in your lives. And so there is this temptation that we ourselves will feel that activity and these various avenues of service for God are a substitute for the things God wants to have in our hearts and the sacrifices we offer from our hearts to God. We've considered a number of these sacrifices, and today I want to talk about the sacrifice of loyalty to God. The sacrifice of loyalty to God. There was a man named Joshua. Joshua took the place of Moses. Joshua was the great man of God. He led Israel for many, many years. At first he was uncertain of himself because he was taking the place of this great saint of God named Moses. But in his latter years, God gave him the confidence to be a courageous and a valiant leader for God. I'm impressed by this man's life because throughout his life there was no known area of failure. He served God faithfully. He loved the Lord God with all his heart. And now we come down to the time just before he is ready to die, and he is giving his final address to the people of Israel. These people were going to turn against God just another generation after Joshua died. But Joshua gives them a final challenge. We find this challenge in Joshua chapter 24, begin with verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. And then this phrase, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The sacrifice I want to speak of today has to do with loyalty to God and taking a stand for the Lord. Sometimes this is very, very difficult. these Israelites found this difficult in their day. Joshua was standing now before a great nation. There were perhaps as many as 2 million people now in Israel. And Joshua was about to die. And Joshua was reminding them that all his life he had stood for the Lord. He had stood for righteousness. He had stood before God in holiness and purity. He had stood before God, not ashamed of anything that God had led him to do. He was not ashamed of the law that God had given. He was not ashamed of the stand for righteousness. He was not ashamed to be God's man. Moses had faced the same thing in his day. He was constantly being challenged by the people. And Moses fearlessly stood before them as God's representative. And so in Joshua's day, Joshua is saying, I know your hearts. I know the temptations you're going to face. You're going to face some tremendous choices. You're going to choose, perhaps, to compromise your faith. You're going to choose to compromise on your stand for God. And he said, I want you to know that as far as I am concerned, I will stand for God until the very day I die. My family will stand for God. No matter what you do, no matter what anyone else does, well, I'm going to stand for God. We are going to stand for God. I want to make this application to today. This is a very, very important application to make. The Apostle Peter and John were faced with the same decision. This is the day of the New Testament now. It's not the day of Joshua, but they were faced with the same decision in their day. They were being opposed by everyone, and as they were opposed by everyone around them, in fact, the entire city was organized against them. Perhaps even many of the Christians were fearful. They were trembling because of the opposition. Now Peter and John are being threatened with their very lives. But in Acts chapter 4 and 5, they take a stand for God. They were not ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Even though everyone in the city seemed to oppose him, they were not ashamed. And so they challenge these leaders who were challenging them and threatening them with their very lives. They say, for instance, is it better to take your stand or ours? They're speaking in this way. And then they have these words to say, that we are going to follow God. We're going to follow God with all our hearts. We will obey God rather than men. We will obey God rather than men. Now, this is the application again I want to make. We today desperately need to take a stand for God. This society demands that we take a stand for God. And a stand for God is not easy. Some of you who are listening have unsaved relatives who do not understand your faith in the Lord Jesus. Or they do not understand why you have left, perhaps, another church to follow the Lord Jesus. You've left something which you could no longer follow, which you could no longer believe, some other teaching that you have had from some false teachers, perhaps. They can't understand this. Why have you betrayed us like this? There are people in other religions, in fact, who say, if our son becomes a Christian, it is like he will bring bad luck, that's the way they express it, bad luck upon our home. He will destroy the unity of our home. We are serving our gods, our pagan gods. They don't call them pagan gods, but that's what they are. We're serving our pagan gods. And if you leave our home and you become a Christian, it is just like you are betraying us. We don't even want you to be our son anymore. Some in the Philippines have been threatened with this. When they become Christians, they come from another religion. And those in that other religion will say to them, if you leave our house and you become a Christian, don't ever come back to our house anymore. We will no longer regard you even as a son in our home. Sometimes workmates do not understand. I talked to a man who worked on another island here in the Marianas. And he said that when he became a Christian, his workmates totally turned against him. They even threatened to kill him because of his faith in the Lord Jesus. This sometimes will happen. So the apostles were faced with this. Joshua was not faced with being killed, but he was faced with being misunderstood because he took an uncompromising stand for God. Our loyalty belongs to the Lord. Our faith belongs in the Lord, of course, but our loyalty belongs to Him. And we are to take a stand for Him, even if no one else will take this stand. Sometimes even other Christians may fail. They may not stand with us. They may be feeling that our stand is too strict, that we're simply going out of bounds, in other words, with the strong stand we're taking. Now, we should not be arrogant in our stand. We should not take bitterness and hatred against other people. That's not a stand for the Lord. That's a stand for unrighteousness. But nevertheless, in a pure, holy way, we simply say with Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In other words, our home is going to be different. My faith is different because I've come to the Lord Jesus. Now my life is different because I'm living for Jesus. Now my home is different because my children have trusted the Lord. My wife trusts the Lord. And we're taking a stand for the Lord Jesus. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says or does. We will not compromise our stand. And this is my prayer for you as you listen to this broadcast, that you might be able to stand and say with Joshua, "I will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now suppose you have not been taking a stand. It is not too late to turn your life around, turn your heart over to the Lord, and to simply say to the Lord, "I renew my loyalty for you, my loyalty to you, and I will now take a stand for you." May God help you, each one.